This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hello, everyone. This is Valeria Rusnak. Welcome to the 4th episode of the Rejected Pre-Med Podcast. Long time no see. Ooh, I haven't released episodes in a long time. Hope you're all doing well, enjoying your summer, even though the summer is kind of coming to an end. Maybe you watch those summer movies, popular ones, Deadpool and Wolverine, Inside Out. I loved both of those movies, by the way. They're very different. Very different, but I love them. We will call this our second resource episode. And here we'll talk about resiliency, and more specifically, what does it mean to be resilient in the face of rejection? What does it mean to be resilient as a pre-med student? And why does resiliency matter at all? So even if you're not a pre-med student, you can listen to this episode because I think it applies to all of humankind. Being resilient is about having the tools to respond to a difficult event or events in your life so you can move on from them in a healthy way and learn from them. How do we do that? How do we achieve that resilience? So there's so much to say about this topic. And when I started writing the script, I realized there might be no way I can fit this all into one episode. So let's see how this goes. I might split this into multiple parts, might not. So we'll think about this. Okay, so I cannot talk about resilience and not mention Brené Brown. Many of you have heard of Brené Brown. She is a renowned social scientist. And in her best-selling book, The Gifts of Imperfection, she lists 5 most common factors of resilient people. And they are, 1, they are resourceful, and they have good problem-solving skills. 2, they're more likely to seek help. 3, resilient people hold the belief that they can do something that will help them to manage their feelings and to cope. And 4, they have social support available to them. And 5, they're connected with others, such as their family or their friends. So probably there's, of course, more factors that determine resiliency because, you know, it is so individual. But these are the big factors that are applied to many, many people. Now, if you didn't fully get down or have the time to process fully those 5 categories, I will go through them again, not necessarily in that same order, but this time with examples from my own life and further explanations that I actually tied together from different books that I read over the years. And all the books will be listed in show notes, so you can refer to them individually if you like. So let's start with what it means to be resilient. Let's start with the first factor that we listed, being resourceful and having good problem-solving skills. Now, okay, this may seem counterintuitive, but personally for me, from my personal experience, to be a good problem solver and being resilient means to be comfortable with uncertainty. That's where it starts. I will explain. And there's so much that goes into being comfortable with uncertainty. And of course, you want to achieve that certainty in your life. Of course you do. That's the ideal. But when you crave certainty in situations where it cannot be granted to you, it could potentially make you miserable and distract you from solving your problems. That's what I found happened to me. When I was not accepted into medical school, I started questioning my whole future. And I didn't know, like, what will it look like? What will I be doing? I was freaking out, like, and I still freak out sometimes. So, like, I did not apply to any other programs that year, which was kind of naive of me. But yeah, I did not apply to any other programs that year. So I had no idea what I'll be doing for the next year. And quite honestly with you, I'm still figuring out what I'll be doing. So, you know, and when you are going through these kinds of thoughts and feelings and you're freaking out about your future, you just suddenly want to be in college again, right? And in college, I remember where I felt good and certain about my future. Yeah, there were stresses with exams, stresses with school, stresses with all kinds of things. But at least I was feeling good and certain about my future. I wanted to be a doctor, right? That's kind of helped me stay on track. So for me to have good problem solving skills now means to be comfortable with uncertainty. Because once I accepted that it is perfectly okay to not know what you'll be doing in the future, to not know what your future will look like, once I accepted that, I let go of that ideal picture in my head and I started taking action. I started taking action and thinking of alternatives to medicine and stopped living in the past, right? I started taking action and moved into problem-solving mode. And ultimately, that added to my resiliency. I took my life into my own hands instead of focusing on my perceived failure, right? So what I did, and I recommend you do this as well, is to create a list of potential future jobs / education you could pursue in your current position. For example, for me, I'm thinking of what potential future jobs or education I could pursue as a neuro degree graduate, right? So I made that list and I realized that I'm currently interested in psychology, mental health, leadership, and management. So at least for the near future, my list consists of doing stuff in those fields. And in your case, if you applied to medicine and did not get in, your list could consist of pursuing a master's in a science or health-related field and continuing to apply to medicine each year. That's what you could be doing because that is what you're passionate about. Or you know medicine is something you want to do and you do not want to do a master's, you can go into EMS and continue to apply to medicine while working for EMS. My friend did that and she actually got into med school this year. So those are things you could do. And these are just examples, right? And don't let them limit you. There are various things you could do, like travel, for example. You could even apply to a Caribbean medical school. It's easier to get into them. And some of their medical programs get really great reviews. So definitely consider those options as well. The truth is, if you feel in your heart that you want to be a doctor or whatever it is that you wish for in your life, if you feel in your heart that you want to do that certain thing or be that certain profession, do not give up. Right? I interviewed a doctor in the third episode of this podcast. He had to apply to medical school 7 times. There was another doctor who applied 5 times before she got in. And by the time she got in, she had a master's and a PhD, right? Just let this sink in, like a master's and a PhD. Do you know how many years it takes to get a master's and a PhD on top of that? And I was talking to my friend who just got into medicine. She told me this year was her 3rd time applying. She told me her motivation decreased every time, but I believe it's like the burning feeling inside that she had to be a doctor that kept her going. And this, of course, does not just apply to pre-meds, but people pursuing any kind of job. If your heart tells you to keep going for it, you should. And you should believe in yourself that you'll find a way to get there because self-confidence goes a very, 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 very long way. Self-confidence is such a key. And I know that you're probably thinking, oh, it all sounds so easy, Valeria. And it is not. It is not fucking easy at all. Like, it's so hard. This is exactly why I launched this podcast, because not enough people talk about this, how hard it is to go after what you really want after facing rejection over and over and over again. But the skills, the strength, the resilience you get from these experiences is tremendous. And if you can overcome that, you will be unstoppable. You'll be unstoppable. I feel like I should add like a mic drop sound to this. Here it is. Mic drop. Now, you may be one of those people like me who are not sure anymore that medicine is for you. Because in your heart, you have this feeling. You don't know how to describe it. But it feels like there's something else out there to try. Maybe you don't want to rule out medicine just yet. Like, I don't want to rule out medicine just yet. I was committed to that goal for 10 years. That little 13-year-old Valeria wanted to be a doctor. It's hard for me to let that go. But At the same time, I feel like there's something more exciting for me on the horizon, and I want to try that instead, and maybe you might be in the same shoes as well. Or you may have no idea what you want to be doing at all, but you know deep inside that medicine is just not something you should be focusing on right now. Maybe in the future, but not right now. You might be feeling that too. Either way, making a list helps here. You focus on what intrinsically motivates you and take a leap of faith with it, right? Think about it. Do some self-reflection. Maybe you're interested in business management. Maybe you like doing research. Maybe you want to go into doing ultrasound, being an ultrasound sonographer. Maybe you're interested in law school, being a teacher, being a nurse, being a podcast host. I personally, for myself, narrowed it down to either psychology or management because these things may not be my quote-unquote passions, but I know I could be good at those things. And I'm genuinely interested in both of these, right? It's about taking the time to see what your inner self truly desires. And that takes time. That takes courage and fucking determination. When you have resilience, you allow yourself to be courageous to do what you feel is right. Because you know you will handle it. Yes, there'll be hard times. There'll be some tears along the way. There'll be some hardships along the way. But somewhere deep inside, you know, okay, I'm ready. I'll fucking handle it. And that's what resilience is about. Resilience partially comes from being comfortable with that uncertainty. So coming back to that, because if you pursue something like medicine for so long and finally realize that in your heart you may want something different, you may experience a bit of an identity crisis because you have no idea where your life is heading anymore or who you are, leaving you feeling paralyzed, right? And that is exactly what I felt. And I still feel like that sometimes. But being comfortable with uncertainty normalizes that feeling of not knowing everything in advance, and it makes it okay. Because guess what? You can't know everything in advance. You're not God. I don't know. You don't know your future. But being intentional about being comfortable with uncertainty normalizes that feeling of not knowing everything in advance, and it makes it okay. And when you accept that, you can move on into problem solving / action mode, step by step, ready to adapt to life whenever it throws curveballs at you. And you can imagine a fulfilling future for yourself again, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year at a time, right? So you may not know what you want to be doing now, but you know. Okay, I'll stop talking right now because I said a lot and I want to let that sink in. So I'll be quiet for about 30 seconds and let music play, and then I'll be back. All right. Welcome back, everyone. Hope you had your drink of water or whatever else you needed to do. To recap, we said that the first factor to being resilient is to be resourceful and have good problem-solving skills, which partially stems from being comfortable with uncertainty. At least that was the case for me, and maybe you can relate to that, right? So just remember, there is no perfect decision, a perfect step to take in life. There's just you, what your gut tells you, and being brave enough to take a leap of faith. Yeah, you may never know for sure what next step to take. And that can be scary sometimes for me. I may never know for sure what next step to take. But life is not about being perfect. It's about just living. I constantly remind myself of that. Not every single step you take has to be directed towards your ideal future. Maybe it's something that's interesting to you. You don't know where that might lead you. Just follow your interests and network with people who share your interests and let those seeds grow, and you will see how they sprout over time. Okay. So now we're going to switch gears a little bit. We're still going to talk about being resourceful and how that applies to resilience, but in a different context. Being resourceful also means having an adequate self-care toolkit. So self-care means getting enough sleep, exercise, helping others, blah, blah. Like, that is no surprise. It may be the boring, predictable answer, but it's true. Like, do these things over time and they will add to your resilience, which in return will add to your success and happiness and all those other good shit. Many of us have also heard the term self-compassion and self-love. But how many of you actually know what it really means? Because I thought I knew about it, what it was, and I thought I practiced it, but I didn't. I just knew about it in theory. I never properly practiced those things. Self-love and self-compassion is for everyone to practice, and it will add to your resiliency like nothing else will. ironically, it was my rejection from medical school and those other things before that, like my MCAT attempts, that have helped me realize what self-compassion actually is and moved me towards that and helped me actually to start practice that. Before I had any self-compassion, I was my own worst critic, and it was very exhausting. Like, just imagine being surrounded by the most toxic person ever while you're trying to just live and overcome challenges. I think that gets in the way. If you have no self-compassion or self-love, you're your own toxic person who's always there making things harder for yourself than they need to be. It's that toxic person that you just need to let go, but you just can't because it's part of you, right? And that's where self-compassion comes in. That's how we can get rid of that toxic person in you. It's okay, though. It takes time to develop self-compassion, so be patient with yourself because you will get there, but you got to really embrace it, you know, not just like know about self-compassion in theory and be like, that's enough. No, like that doesn't do the trick. Dr. Kristen Neff did a lot of research on self-compassion, and she has a TED talk about this, which I will put in the show notes and you can learn more about it. She provides practical tips on how to actually practice self-compassion, and hopefully it helps you. Another way to build resilience is to develop interests and hobbies and maintain your relationships with people close to you. Because when one thing goes sideways in your life, it's not like all your eggs are in one basket and you will not feel your entire identity shatter. Dramatic, I know, but right? Because then you have other things to lean on, like your friends and your family. And you say to yourself, yes, I did not get this job. I did not get the spot at the school, but I have a great relationship with this person. I play soccer really well. I write my blog. I volunteer at the animal shelter, blah, blah, blah. All those things that make up who you are help you realize that you do not depend on this job. You don't need this job that you got rejected from to define who you are. It doesn't define who you are. It doesn't make up your identity. And in that way, you know you will handle it if you do not get the job. You know you will handle any other future potential failures you might face because you're a well-rounded person and you have other things that make up your life. Even then, you can still feel upset if you don't get the job, but at least that way you have something to fall back on. Like, I did not get accepted to any medical schools I applied to, but I thank God I have my husband to support me, who always believed in me even when I didn't believe in myself. Every day I'm grateful for his presence. And then my family was there too, always checking in on me. I had my volunteer initiatives where I felt the support as well. And I got my singing project for an original song that I wrote that kept me going too. So the main takeaway here, remember the more elements make up your life, the more well-rounded you are, the less threatening it is when any one element is threatened. Okay, let's see. I've been talking a lot. Now, resilient people also hold the belief that they can do something that will help them manage their feelings and to cope. That's another resilience factor right here. So this is a big topic for me. And if you follow me on social media, you know about this. I made a whole post about it. There are many things you can do to manage your feelings and to cope. It is not always easy, but it can be done and you'll be better off in the long run. And just remember, all emotions are okay to have. You don't choose to have them, but you choose what to do with them after. And let that sink in. Like, you're sad, you're angry, you feel shame, you feel embarrassed. That's all okay to have. That just means you're human. And you can't choose to have them. Like, you can't get mad at yourself for feeling angry. You just do. You don't control that. But what you do control is what you do after you get those emotions, what you do with them after. And that helps to build resilience when you realize that and when you live that. First, you need to acknowledge the emotions that you have. To do that, you need to have that self-awareness, which can be developed by journaling or meditation or yoga even. I do all three of these, although I'm not as consistent as I would like to be. But journaling helps to see what you feel on the page, as long as you journal whatever it is that comes to your mind, right? Like, don't take your pen off the page. That's very important. That's how your unconsciousness can come onto the page. And you can be like, oh, so this is what's bugging me. Because many times when I feel heavy and I'm not sure what I'm experiencing, I take out my journal and I just write in it. And then eventually it comes out. Eventually I understand what thing is bugging me the most and I can start dealing with it. Meditation takes practice and helps you acknowledge what you're feeling as well. And it's very important to understand that once you acknowledge your emotions, you can tell yourself they're temporary, so you know you won't feel like this forever. Once you recognize the emotions you're experiencing, you need to understand that these emotions are actually valuable because these emotions act as our guides. For example, if you feel angry, that might point you to doing a specific action, like advocating for something, like for yourself and for your needs. And when you do that, you will feel much better. So instead of suppressing emotions, which would probably result in mental breakdowns anyway, you actually welcome these emotions and be like, oh, hey, anger, you're here. Oh, hey, sadness, you're here. Like, this is why I love the Inside Out movies, because they normalize having a different spectrum of emotions. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to be angry. These emotions help us live a fuller life and lead us closer to our truths. And when you befriend your emotions, you can then practice healthy emotional regulation. You'll be like, whoop, I feel sad. What helps me when I'm sad? What helps me when I'm sad? Ooh, last time a bubble bath helped me. I'm gonna go do that, and then I'll figure out what to do next. Ooh, I sense that I feel shame. I feel shame. What do I do? I talked to someone. That helped me last time. So remember that every time, if you allow yourself to acknowledge an emotion and don't run from it, recognize it and be like, what can I do to help myself with it? Again, emotions are temporary. No matter how bad or good something may feel in the moment, that feeling eventually fades because that's just life. So yes, when you've got emotional regulation skill down, right? And that's always a work in progress. But overall, when you've got that skill down, you can be more resilient. Living in denial of your emotions or suppressing them won't get you to resiliency. In fact, it will push you away from it. There'll be times when you feel like shit, no matter what. Always. I certainly had my share of those times. I had those experiences. I had times where I couldn't stop crying and I couldn't breathe because I was crying so hard. And that's okay. It's nothing to be scared of. Just do all those things we talked about. Acknowledge your emotions. Welcome them. Manage them. And remember, it's all temporary. Also, I found out what helps me when I feel anxious or incompetent is to remind yourself of the things that you did well, the things you're proud of. Because more often than not, we forget how capable we really are, how much of a good impact we actually have on people. Now, gosh, okay. Last bit of content here. Remember that rejection is only a failure if it knocks you down and you don't get back up. And it's just reality of life that the more we strive for success, the more we fail. And understanding that will add to your resilience. And having resilience really depends on the story you tell yourself. And it also depends on your readiness to fucking own your story. Because guess what? That takes guts. Yes, it takes guts. But you, with time, can come to that. And having resilience is about having faith and hope that somehow everything will turn out okay, because you are inherently worthy and deserving of whatever you put your mind to. And resiliency is not an easy thing to achieve. It doesn't come overnight, much like happiness is not easy to achieve, and it doesn't come overnight either. You won't wake up one day thinking, oh, today I'm resilient. Like, it's a work in progress. But at least we can wake up each day knowing we are heading in the right direction. Because if we continue practicing self-care, continue to become more comfortable with uncertainty, and getting a little bit better at emotional regulation every day, we are winning. Another mic drop. Okay, my friends. We're about to come to an end. And I hope you got something out of this episode. On my social media, I created a Calendly link where you can book a meeting with me to talk about whatever it is you're going through. We all need a shoulder to cry on sometimes. We want to have someone that can listen to us. And I want to be that someone for you. I'm not an expert, but I'm your peer, and I want to be there for you. So feel free to book a meeting with me and we can talk. But for now, until next time, adios. Bye.